welcome to episode 144 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love to do most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics. So if there's something you would like to hear more about, just let us know. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and Lindsay. So our topic today is, do you have a larger family? What do you do when you have five or more family members? Larger families can create special challenges that smaller groups don't have to face, whether it's making dinner reservations, finding the right number of beds for everyone at the resort, or anticipating needs of different generations. The number one key for any vacation with a large group is advanced planning with your friendly Outlander travel agent. Spontaneity can be hard with a large group, and with varied opinions and interests, it's much better to tell the kids the activities that you already have planned for each day rather than solicit suggestions. So tonight we'll be discussing those challenges and how to find the right fits so that everyone gets the absolute best vacation. So tonight, let's talk first thing about hotels. Should we do one big room or two smaller ones, or look at cabins or villas? What do you think, guys?
Well, as a family of five, I can tell you that we don't have the option sometimes to be in a regular room. It's getting better in different areas. It just depends on where we're going. But like, for example, if I want to take my kids to Cancun, there's not a lot of places. I have to get two rooms, especially with the age of your kids. The older they get, once they're over 12, they don't even let kids like sleep in the room.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say this is one place where it's not hard for me to convince somebody that they need a travel agent, because when you start looking for this stuff yourself,
right,
it really is. I mean, it's difficult for us as travel agents, but at least we see it more often, and can at least narrow things down a little bit faster. I think, you know, should you get one room, should you get a villa, that really depends on your pocketbook and your kids' sizes. So one room is a little bit easier when they're, you know, 1, 3, and 5, but when they're 11, 13, and 15, see, one room gets really cozy really fast.
When my kids were really little like that, though, I really liked having a door that I could shut and put them in a different
room.
We're
not going to talk about your parenting style.
I will say, I don't have a large family, but I do plan for a lot of large families. And what it seems to always come down to, like right now I'm working with one group that's got 22 family members and then one that's got 18. And what it always comes down to is, do you want, if you pay the extra money and you get a villa, you have that communal area. You can maybe make some meals depending on the villa, whether they have a kitchen or not. And you can, you kind of have those doors, like you said, and that makes for a better vacation because you're not in each other's personal space. There's enough room for you to get away from each other a little bit, but yet there's room for you to come together. And when you're talking, you know, versus getting six different hotel rooms, which may be in different buildings, not necessarily all together. It's a lot harder to get six in a row.
Which may be a good thing as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, well, which that would be a good thing, depending on, but if you all have small kids and you want to socialize together in the evening, where are you putting the kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your kids are little and they need, it's just sometimes, depending on the dynamic of the family, it really can pay to spend a bit more and then have your sanity.
Yes. Yep.
Well, there are options of like two bedroom suites though too.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like the parents can have their room and the kids can have their room, but you're not worried that they're in a separate room with a door they might unlock and or someone who might knock on their door, and then a common living space. And so that is also an option.
Depending
and you also have to worry about when you have adjoining rooms that your 2-year-old doesn't lock herself in the other room and you get in.
Has that happened to you?
Yes.
I felt like that was a personal experience.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well, my mom had shut the door with the extra lock on the front door of the hotel room, and she went into the bedroom with us, and Alex went in her room and shut the pass-through door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And then so you're, like, trying to explain how to open the door.
Yes.
The 2-year-old. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't work so well.
What do you do with your family of five on a cruise ship?
So I actually, this is one of my favorite questions because it depends on the cruise line. Disney Cruise Line is really good with cabins for five. Again, it'll be tight. Royal Caribbean now has cabins that sleep up to six. However, you can't really book them online. Their computer system can't actually handle more than four people on a booking. So the way it's booked is kind of, MacGyvered, for lack of a better word. So this is another great place where a travel agent comes in handy because to you, it won't look like there is a room that can sleep all six of your family, but they actually may exist. So, that's one case in point. And I have a family right now sailing, they'll be sailing on Royal Caribbean for spring break. And it's mom, dad, son, triplets, and grandma.
Wow.
And so, they had the choice. Do we put all six in one room and then grandma by herself? But then grandma's going to pay for two, basically, because this wasn't a ship that has the solo option. Well, I should say grandma wanted a balcony. So, so grandma now has one of the grandkids in the room with her. But we aren't still, mom isn't even sure if that's going to go over well with ever, these are triplets and grandma wants one of the triplets in the room with her. She chose which kid was going to be in with her. And these triplets might not like that very
much. See, I was going to say bring the grandparents because that's what we did. And we could have had all five of us in one cabin, but it was nice to have that connecting cabin and spread it out just a little bit. My daughter really liked not having to sleep in the room with her brothers, so. Yeah, you have to kind of expand. It costs a little more, Like, even before I was a travel agent and I would do trips with my cousins, we've done, like, beach houses in Myrtle Beach and stuff, I would end up paying for two bedrooms because when you break it down, that's what we were using compared to, what everybody else was doing. And, yeah, it's a little more. Once you get over the four, like, the family of four, you're outnumbered. Yeah. You have to get the bigger car. You got to do all that stuff.
And it's
over the bunk.
Yeah, it's important too.
But on our cruise, we ended up getting two rooms side by side, and it was actually less expensive to do the interior room side by side than it was to do a family suite higher up on the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and even this family with triplets, they upgraded their room because they wanted more square footage because, you have so many people. So we'd originally had them in two balconies with a connecting door, and they opted, grandma still has a balcony, but not a connecting door. She's actually several doors down from, because they wanted to take one of the family suites, which costs a little bit more, but they will have more square footage. And of course, keeping in mind that their triplets are younger, like their babies are still all under age 10. So we're not talking about kids who can sort of run around the ship on their own at this point. So that was a conscious decision they made. And it's really important. That brings up a great point. We're recording this in July. They're not sailing until March of next year. They actually booked in June. They booked a month ago. And we were lucky to get one of those family suites. There was only two on the ship. So
I was just going to say, I booked someone and one for six people for the Harmony for next July, and it was already tight.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
There's not a bajillion of them. And so the things you have to then also keep in mind is when a sale comes out, you ain't going to get it because 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to change cabins. And when you do that, they won't be able to find two cabins together because the sale will, because of the way the sale runs, it's kind of hard to explain.
And a lot of times though, if you've booked way far in advance, you're getting a good rate, So I had that with my group that's going to Alaska. They came out with this promo where you got an automatic upgrade, but the price they had paid was still cheaper because they booked so far in advance.
So I definitely tell my bigger families, book in advance, because then you'll get exactly what you want. And then if a sale comes out and it works, then great. But if it doesn't, you probably are just as well off and you will have exactly the rooms that you wanted.
Yeah.
And in the end, that is what's important, because if you wait for the last minute deals, you're not going to find two cabins next to each other. Or in some cases, even for a family of four, I ran into this where I was booking an Alaska cruise in January for June, and they ended up not being able to go because we couldn't find a single ship that had a quad left on it.
Hmm. Yeah, because even though you think they have rooms that have it, it really goes by how much space is in those lifeboats.
Yes. But also that's, that is a popular family trip.
Exactly. There's the capacity of a lifeboat.
Right. And there's only so much inventory, you know, that season in Alaska is very short. Yeah. So you only have a certain number of weeks to pick from. And then if you only have a certain number of weeks to pick from, you really have a small selection of inventory to choose from. And yeah, there wasn't in the times they could go, there wasn't a single quad for them to get on. With an itinerary that they wanted to go to one particular place, and so not all ships go to that place. Mm-hmm. So, they wanted to see a particular park. So yeah, when you have a big family, you need to book far, far in advance, cruises or hotels, to help get you that
resorts. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Well, so what about flights, or either doing a rental car or bringing your personal vehicle? Really, what's the best choice?
So I did a lot of road trips when my kids were young. I pretty much, if it was anywhere drivable from the East Coast, I've been all up and down the East Coast with my kids. So they were pretty good about it. But we, you know, every once in a while we'll fly somewhere. Like if we're going, we flew to California a few times and Texas to visit family and stuff. But you just got to kind of, like airlines, it's really, what I tell people for airlines is, get an idea of what the ticket should cost. And when you see it at a price you want to pay, just buy it and then quit looking at it. Mm-hmm. You know, because, it'll drive
you Southwest and you might be able to get some money back.
I mean, it'll drive you crazy, you know, thinking, oh, I need to look at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, or, you know, like I don't do any of that. I think, okay, this ticket should cost me $300. And if I see it around that price, I'm like, all right, we're getting it. And you just budget for it. I mean, it's a little harder with a big family.
I think the rental car question is a good one. And honestly, this even pertains to couples. A compact car is not going to work for you. I appreciate that there's only two of you and that you don't take up much space, but you pack a lot more crap than you think you do.
Yeah.
And there's no trunk space in that car. Yeah. So, and if you're going to pick up buddies, you know, if you're going, you know, to the city and you're going to, then you're going to want passenger space. And, you know, you've got to take that trunk space into consideration. With a large family, do not start below an SUV. I mean.
Or you could end up with a car with three doors, Sandy.
Yeah. And having to put your luggage in the back seat because there's not really a trunk.
Yes. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
And that's the number one reason for upgrades on site at rental places is people realize their luggage won't fit in the car that they.
I mean, when I travel with my family and we have to rent a car, it's always a minivan. In fact, when we went to our conference one time, we rented a car from a place that let us choose anything in the row. And it was just adults, but we're like, we can take the minivan?
The minivan.
I know. I was so excited because, well, it's a good thing because we all had a lot of luggage.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the minivan is quite active. We went to Reno and we had five of us with all of our luggage, and each of us had at least two bags, if not a third one, with a personal carry-on. And I did go for the SUV. I went for the smaller SUV, and all of our luggage didn't fit. We had to take it back and get the big Suburban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always get them. Oh, I drive a minivan anyway, so it's not, you know, that's normal for me. But, yeah, I go for the minivan every time. Yeah. You can buy a lot of stuff in a minivan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, sometimes if you're willing to forego all the kind of newest, latest technology, you can, in the city you're going to, if your travel agent can help you find a, maybe a 15-passenger van that's kind of from a local rental place or from, you know, it may seem like a lot of room for a family of six, but it means every kid gets their own bench. You know, they get the whole thing with all their stuff on it. They can lay down and sleep on it. There, no one's touching each other. No one's in any proximity to touch each other.
And if you have gear like geese, you need that big van.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may not have, you know, it may not have Sirius radio and it may not have backup cameras, but, you know, when you're driving 2 and 3 and 4 and 6 and 800 miles, and you don't have to worry about who's touching who and, you know, who can smell what, who pooted or whatever. You know,
that's another one, though. Book it early because there's not a huge selection of cars like that. So you definitely want to get that early.
My parents took me on a road trip from Wisconsin to to Florida with my little sister in a car seat in the middle of the back seat, because you had to put the car seat in the middle. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to be like right up next to her for the whole entire trip. It was the most miserable experience.
Oh, I got you beat. My cousins went from Pittsburgh to California one summer, and it was the year that one of my cousins, her father died. So they had a family of with four kids, the mother and her four kids. She's the one whose husband had died. And then her brother and his wife and their two kids in a station wagon. And there weren't enough seats for everybody, and they made one of the kids sit in the floorboard all the way across the country.
Well,
not advocating that.
No. That was a long time ago.
That was in so like different. The 80s, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing that my sister and I are alive today because, you know, we would lay across, basically we would stack the floorboard with pillows. Yeah. And so we had basically a big bed in the back, and we would just lay down the whole time. No seat belts. Yeah, we would have gone flying.
It's also worth mentioning that those cars were tanks.
Yes.
Like, the cars that I rode around in with no seat belt in the 70s and 80s were going to take a building down if they hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did not.
Passenger wagons? Oh, yeah.
You know, we were in Buffalo in upstate New York, and we had Chevrolet Suburbans that were kind of half eaten out because of the salt and stuff. And we looked really classy. my dad built on the, you know, you have the driver's seat and the passenger seat, and then the bench, and then it was empty for, you know, all your junk. And he built, put like 2x4s down the, like right under the long windows, and then laid planks over it, and all the old crib mattresses got put across the top with sleeping bags, and that's where the kids could sleep.
Wow.
So one kid got the back seat, one kid, which was usually me, was on the floor because I loved that feeling of the wheels and the warmth and everything, and then two kids were, you know, up top. You know, now, you know, it's, you know, they would, you know, all my dad had to do was put on his, on the brake card once, and, you know, two kids projectile.
They all roll on top of the poor person on the floor.
Yep.
Now, we were back and forth from Buffalo to Florida, because my dad was working with folks at Disney World on stuff, and, you know, a lot in that thing, and it's what made it work. And I think parents, you know, it's like you know, some of the coping mechanisms we're talking about are some of those same things that, you know, how do you don't have to stay at home because you have a large family of five or a large family of six. That's what, you know, we had four kids, you know, who were born over a series of 10 years. So, you know, it's, there are ways to make it work where you're not going to break the bank. Mm-hmm. It does take some planning, you know, it does. And your travel agent can help you with that. You know, we can help you, you know, don't say no because you've got a big family.
Yeah,
I will say that a little bit more planning has to go into it. And I know, you know, as we move on to talking about attractions and other things, and I think the easiest way to look at this is Disney World, but it's true with anything. If you're going to a big city or whatever, when you have a big family, you probably need to do a little bit more planning, or at least decide who's in charge and stick to it, because you will kill so much time standing in a group, blocking everybody else's way, going, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do next?
What do you want? What do you want to eat? I don't know. I want to do that.
And the bigger the group gets, the more likely it is that everybody has to go to the bathroom at different times. So, now that said, depending on your family, you know, that can work really well. And I just had a family of 21 go to Walt Disney World, and she described her family as a tumbleweed moving around the parks, but they had a great time, but they wanted to do everything together. So they had 21 fast passes for this, and 21 fast passes for that. And they like really, they did the whole trip together and they loved it. But there was one mom in the group, it was grandma, and then four children and all the grandkids and in-laws. So, one mom was in charge of everything. She was the one who, and they just sort of deferred to her and, just followed her around. And it was like, don't argue with me.
You need an alpha.
I know what you want to do. We will get to it. Just follow me. And it worked really well for them. So.
Well, and, one of the things that, again, I've heard from people a lot over the, you know, this time that I've been a travel agent, the year that I've kind of gotten lucky enough to be part of this profession is, you know, I'd love to, but I just can't afford it. And I started saying to them, if you will speak your dreams to me, Tell me what you want to do, and then let me watch for promotions. But if you don't ever tell me, I can't watch for them. You know, and with this type of thing, it's like, you think there's no way my family could ever take a cruise. You know, but there are promotions that come up where the second person is 50% off, and the next two people are an additional 20% off. You know, so something that ordinarily would cost you more, you know, that we can help you find for, you know, and but we need as much time as possible, you know, and those kind of things can be made possible.
Yeah, we've made possible in 2 weeks.
What is the standard usually for group rates? How many people do you normally have to have in your group in order to get a reduced rate for, say, attractions?
That's a great question, because I do have families of six say, well, do we qualify for a group? I was like, not really, no.
Yeah, so like for Disney, for example, it's 10 rooms. A lot of hotels will give you a group rate at 10 rooms.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would be more than, you know, like my family would be 2 rooms, you know. Cruises will do, like, 8 passengers, but that's...
No, eight cabins.
Oh, 8 cabins. Yeah, mm-hmm. 16 passengers. Yeah, so if you have, like, 16 people, but they're in 4 cabins, then you're not going to qualify yet.
Right,
so,
it's only the first and second person each one.
Yeah.
And then river cruises, usually the group is 5. Some all-inclusives, a group can start at 5. But, you know, that's difficult. You know, 5 hotel rooms, that's at least 10 people. So, you know, sometimes
you're... Or a couple families. Yeah. It's like 3 or 4 families at least.
Well, yeah, if you're going to split... But that's the thing. 3 or 4 families could be in 3 or 4 rooms. So you got to be taking up. Yeah, it just depends on how you're going to split up. But yeah, and that's a good question to ask always. Now, and then as far as attractions, sometimes you can get group rates for tickets for some theme parks, but that's usually starting at 20 or 30.
Yeah.
And sometimes upwards of that. Like, you really need almost a corporate event for it to be a discount. It just depends. You know, Carowinds, I think the limit is lower than, say, Walt Disney World. So.
Well, and also as travel agents, we get access to group travel, like for cruises in particular.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something, well, and even, you know, right now we have a group rate in November at Walt Disney World for some hotels. And then we also have another one in January for some hotels. And we do that every now and then to, because we know we're going to have a high demand at that point. Mm-hmm. But we also have resources where there are groups out there that we can then, put you in as well, even though you don't have to know, you're not going to eat dinner with these people, you know, you don't have to know them, but it will give you some of the benefits of being in a group without actually being in a group. But that's, you know, and if you have a large family, that's even easier, because then you're helping to build that group into a bigger.
So you might get some onboard credit mm-hmm. for a cruise, something like that. A lot of times too, you have the benefit of getting the rate that was available when the group was set up. So a lot of times that can be a lower rate than what you might see online. So, yeah, ask us about it.
One of the podcasts we did before was about, you know, kind of when are upgrades a good thing and when are they a good value. And when you have a large family or you've got a large family traveling together, I think it's those times, like especially at Disney, you know, that is a great time to make sure you're staying on site.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like there's so many advantages to spending that little bit of more money for the quality that your family will be able to have out of your vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's those kind of things that we can help you think about is, you know, what decisions are you willing to make that, you know, you may not decide to do, you know, eat at a sit-down restaurant the whole time, but staying on site will be really important, you know, to assure, especially if you have 2-year-olds and 18-year-olds.
Well, and also what about meals? I mean, so we've got restaurants and things such as that. Is it better to necessarily do like a dining plan, say at a amusement park, or do restaurants, or cook at home?
Well, it's always cheaper to cook yourself. But if you have to have the means to. Yeah, I mean, but like, for example, if you're going to Disney, you have to have, like, most people who fly to Disney don't have a grocery store that they can go to. So even if they're in a villa, that has, you know, a kitchen in it or something, they still don't necessarily have the means to cook.
Well, we do live in the age of Amazon Prime now, so Green Grocer will deliver there too. But then that also involves some planning, because then you got to plan out your food and eat your food, and it's just like being at home.
And if you buy a bunch of food at the grocery store thinking you're saving money, and then you don't eat it and it goes to waste, then you haven't really saved, you know. So.
And it's going to cut into your park time.
So it's kind of
what's important.
It depends on how long you're staying.
Outside of the Disney arena, you know, there are a friend of mine who's got rather a lot. You know, I keep calling him a friend, but he's my oldest stepson, has 10 children. But he really values exposing them to other things. So one of the things that they do is, if they're going to travel, he invests in good hotels. That's where he's going to put his money. He wants to make sure there's a pool there. He wants to make sure there's a breakfast party. You know, there are things that he knows will be really important to him. But then they go online and look for Groupons in that area for dinners. You know, what restaurants in that area might they be able to save money that way and eat locally? You know, support a new restaurant locally, but think ahead of time and get those kind of deals before they go. So
Yelp,
you know, that's good. Another thing to do.
Yelp is good for that as well. But then even taking the cost factor, there's some, if you're worried about cost and food, if you've got a large family to feed, or, you know, your kids are teenagers, then cruising or all inclusives are a really great option for you, because then your food's included. You're not paying an additional for a meal plan. And you know that the food is all taken care of. So that really, it's a great choice for especially families, larger families that have older children, because older children eat more than younger children.
Yes, they
do. it just cuts that cost a little bit, because you literally you're on site or you're on the ship and they can eat pretty much whatever they want to, as much as they want to. They love
especially
it.
If you have teenage boys.
Yeah.
You're eliminating the I don't want to eat that factor, because there are so many, most all inclusives, there's so many different options, and the older ones can kind of go off and have their own pizza by the pool if they want to, or burgers somewhere.
Or their smoothies,
And my son is fascinated with buffets, and I think it's because he's young, he's 11, and he never really has control over the food that goes on his plate, except at a buffet. At a buffet, he gets to choose exactly what appears on his plate, and so he likes that control. And so, yeah, we get on a cruise ship, and he's like, where's the buffet? And that's all he wants, is the buffet. He doesn't care what's on it, as long as he eats the buffet. So that is very liberating for a large family to know that food is taken care of. And that's part of the reason my family with triplets that I was talking about earlier, that's part of the reason they're cruising this year instead of going to Walt Disney World, is it's just easier for them to budget costs of food. Because even with a meal plan, that becomes very expensive at Walt Disney World, and there's always things that aren't covered on that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at Outlander Podcast. Or just search for Fly Away. And be sure to please subscribe to us on iTunes. So on behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. We gotta fly!